Good morning to everyone. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. The epistle for the fourth Sunday in Advent is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the dispensers of the mysteries of God. Here now it is required among the dispensers that a man be found faithful. But to me it is a very small thing to be judged by you or by man's day. But neither do I judge my own self, for I am not conscious to myself of anything, yet I am not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge not before the time, until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise from God. Those are the words of today's epistle. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and Philip his brother, tetrarch of Iturea, and the country of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, under the high priests Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zachary, in the desert. And he came into all that country about the Jordan, preaching the baptism of penance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the sayings of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways plain, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. Dear faithful, the letter to the Corinthians that we read from today, Paul is speaking about the priests. He says to them, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and dispensers of the mysteries of God. And of course, he was speaking about himself. He was a priest. And all of the clergy in general. And then he said, it is a very small thing for me to be judged by you or by man's day. And he's, of course, telling the Corinthians, you are not to judge the ministers of God, ministers of Christ, the dispensers of the mysteries of God. Do not judge the clergy. And he goes on to say that the Lord is the judge. Now we know that the human intelligence, we have a brain, we have a mind, and it has natural acts. There are three proper actions of the human intelligence. The first is the act of apprehension. The mind apprehends a thing. When it takes note of a being, any being, Sometimes we don't even know what the being is, but if you see something, there is a sense information. And the sense information is presented to the mind, our faculty of knowing. It's in the form of a phantasm, brought in by light through the eyes, or in the case of other senses, through pressure on the nerves for the sense of touch, through vibration on the eardrums, sense of hearing. And other senses bring phantasms to the mind, and we apprehend being. We know there is something to cause that sense information. We don't always know what it is, but there has to be something. Now that's the first act of the human intelligence. The second act is judgment. And that is why we were talking about the human intelligence in the first place, because in today's epistle we speak of making judgments. When we judge, we take two ideas and we compare them to each other and ask ourselves, do these two things go together or not? And if the two things seem to us to go together, then we judge that they go together. That's a judgment. We kind of come to a conclusion, yes, those things are together. For example, if someone asks you, is your mother at home? You take the two ideas of one idea of your mother and the other idea of being at home, and you see if those ideas go together now. And if you think she's at home, you'll say, yes, my mother's at home. And that's a judgment. She's not. If you think they don't go together, these two ideas do not match, well, she's off doing something out of the house somewhere, then your answer will depend on your knowledge of, well, she's not home. He will say, no, mother and home don't go together right now. Mother's not at home. Right? Now, since judgment is a natural act of the human intelligence, the third act we don't need to talk about, which is reasoning. Of course, we should, but we'll have to do it in another sermon. The act of judgment is a natural human act, a natural act of the intelligence, by which we compare two ideas and decide for ourselves if they go together or not. And not every act of judgment is forbidden. You know that in the epistle, St. Paul tells the Corinthians not to judge the clergy, the ministers of Christ, the dispensers of the mysteries of God. He says not to judge them. But what does he mean? He does not mean any judgment at all. Because there are judgments that are in favor of someone. If so, somebody is strong, somebody is handsome, somebody is wise, somebody is virtuous, and we say, yeah, that's right, so-and-so is virtuous. That's a judgment too. And yet, as long as we're honest when we say these things, there's nothing wrong with those judgments. Because they're in the favor of the person we're judging. It is the judgments which are against someone. You know, it's classified or typified by saying so-and-so is a loser, or so-and-so is a this or a that, and it's something not nice. You know, that's the kind of judgment that Paul is talking about. He's telling us not to condemn our neighbors, and especially those that are in charge of us. He speaks about the ministers of Christ, the dispensers of the mysteries of God, not to judge them. By extension, we are not to judge any of our superiors, not to condemn anyone who's in charge of us. And then, by further extension, not to judge our peers, our equals, not to speak evil of them, or be delighted in any way if something is truly wrong with them, or spread it about, gossiping or speaking of someone's faults. That is what Paul's condemning. Not to condemn one another, but rather to have good wishes towards our neighbors. The season of Christmas is coming very soon. It begins Saturday night, a week from last night, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. Christmas season follows. It's a long season. It goes on through to February 2, which is Candlemas, and officially at the end of Candlemas Day, the Christmas season is over. Candlemas is the celebration of the presentation of the infant Jesus in the temple. And that ends the Christmas season. And the Christmas beginning next Saturday night, we want to be ready for it. In today's gospel, we see that in a very definite period in history, definite moment in history, which is defined clearly in the gospel, when Tiberius Caesar was reigning over the Roman Empire, and Pontius Pilate, governor of Judea, and all these other officials named, and their titles that they were holding at the time, it says the word of God came to John, son of Zachary, John the Baptist, in the desert. In other words, God inspired him and revealed to him what he wanted to do. And what God sent him to do, what God told him, was to prepare people for the appearance of the Savior. He had already been born. He was already reaching 30 years old. And he wasn't come out in public yet as the Savior and the Messiah. And he was about to do so, and John was to prepare people so that when he did appear publicly as the Messiah, that people would be prepared, would be ready for him. And he told them to do penance. Penance like fasting and alms deeds, extra prayers that you don't absolutely have to say. Other good works. These are forms of penance, and he wanted the people to prepare themselves for the Messiah so that when the Messiah came, they would not feel like they didn't belong with him. They had got themselves ready to belong with the Messiah, to be a part of his program. And so before his public appearance, John was sent to get people ready. And among those people he was getting ready were some of the apostles. Peter and Andrew, his brother, for example. James and John. They all came to hear John the Baptist preach. And they had to get themselves ready for the Messiah. John made them fully aware. And you can be sure that they did do penance before the Messiah came, that they made his way straight. When the Messiah did appear, John pointed him out and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." He pointed to Jesus. Jesus was physically present at the river where John was baptizing. And he pointed to him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." James and John, Andrew, Peter wasn't there the day Andrew was there. Andrew and John followed Jesus on that day. They went with him. They really were prepared to be with Jesus, and they followed him where he went. He walked into the desert, where he was going to spend the rest of his day in the night. And these two disciples followed, disciples of John, they followed Jesus. Jesus, at one point, stopped and turned around, looked at them and said, "What do you want?" And they said, "Lord, where do you live?" And he said, "Come and see." And they followed him on. Kind of reminds me of how my mom and dad met. It's almost exactly the same thing. Mom was the first time she ever went to a USO dance in San Diego. And she was 16. And my dad saw her. Love at first sight, you know, that kind of story. And in the rules at the USO dance, you could not dance with the same girl two dances in a row. And you could not even have one buddy cut in and then give her back to you. And so he had two buddies cutting in, and the second one gave him back to her. You could not say, or girls could not give their last name or their phone number or their address. Right? It was supposed to be just one of those things where you just go to have fun and then it's all over. Well, my dad was a little more interested than that, and so he, when it was time for her to leave and go home, he followed her. And she went out to the door, and he followed her out the door. She got on a bus, and he climbed on the same bus. And she got off of the bus, and he got off at the same stop. She started walking down the street towards her house, and he walked behind her towards the house. And then she turned around and said to him, "What do you want?" And he said, "Let's go see your dad." So it goes to show that stalking, what they call stalking today, doesn't always turn out bad. They just celebrated their 50th anniversary in November, right? Yeah. In any case, they turned around, Jesus turned around and said, "What do you want?" And they told him. They didn't know what to ask him. They just heard that he was the Messiah, and they were going to see what is he all about. And then he said, "Come and see." And so he showed them what he was about. We want to be ready to meet Jesus. We want to be ready to see what he's all about. We want to be ready for Christmas. In order to be ready for Christmas, we want to do penance. Prayers, fasting, alms deeds. Saturday is a day of fast and abstinence. Total abstinence from meat. Christmas Eve. Let us do it. It's not any longer obligatory by church law, but let's do some penance anyway. It doesn't have to be that, but it has to be something. That might as well be it. It worked before. And finally, let us clean up our act. If Christmas comes and we're still involved in a bad habit, some sinful habit, we are not really ready. We won't feel too comfortable with the baby Jesus. One thing especially should be corrected before Christmas, and I know it's a problem no matter where you go, there's this problem, is to judge one's neighbor. If we are judging our neighbors, we ought to stop that before Christmas. Now is the time. if we're gossiping about others, that is one way to, we need to straighten out the paths that we want to see Jesus walk down. We want to make the rough ways plain, take the rocks out of the path, make it a smooth path for Jesus' approach to your soul and for you to follow him down. So let us correct our faults and do penance for our sins and for the sake of asking extra blessings. Penance is not only for the remission of punishments of our sins, it's also to ask special blessings. When we ask for something in our prayers and we add to it some penance with the intention of strengthening our petition by the penance we do to ask what we ask for, then the penance makes that prayer more effective. So we can do penance to expiate our sins and also to receive God's blessings more abundantly, or sometimes we would not have received them at all, and we do because we have done penance. So let us prepare for Christmas. Let us take it seriously. And the world has commercialized Christmas so that, you know, all it means is getting down to the retails and getting the presents for other people. That's all right to do that. You can get Christmas presents. You should give them to each other, sign of your love for each other and your love for Jesus. But it's all fake if you do not also prepare your heart and your habits to be presentable and to make yourself a present to Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.